morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John, you made it through. You made it through the Big Turkey Day,
yes,
and Black Friday, and I see you're not trampled. You're still alive.
I was not one of the 44%, estimated 44% of consumers that went out. No.
Okay, fantastic. I do think that number dwindles a little bit as we have Cyber Monday coming up in the very, very near future, like 2 days. But there still is some craziness out there. My wife and daughter being contributors to that cause for sure. And we have with us in-house our lending specialist, Mr. Mike Denzel with Home Street. Mike, how are you doing this holiday weekend?
I'm doing good. I'd just as soon avoid Gage and all of that, but I live off of Gage.
Oh, yeah. And I tell you what, I will tell you on the way to the office right before Thanksgiving, they were replacing, I mean, I just don't know how these things get scheduled, but they were replacing the traffic light at Gage Keene,
yeah,
and by that Starbucks there. So the traffic was backed up way past the Ace and all the way into the Leslie intersection. Yeah, I know what you mean, but it was a shocker for sure. Absolutely. Glad to be away from that and taking a little bit of break. Hope everybody had a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday. I know we enjoyed some time at home with family, and that's always nice, but here we are going to be pretty soon, and we even had a couple calls yesterday on Black Friday. I think people looking for Black Friday deals and looking for Black Friday deals in the housing world. So we're going to talk a little bit about how you can get your own version of a Black Friday deal. But first, we always like to start off with our crazy national real estate story. And this week, interesting, there's going to be a new show starting soon on HGTV. And this is Drew Scott. He's one of the two Property Brothers that you see if you've ever been flipping through and see the Property Brothers show where they'll look for homes to sell and they'll also remodel. Well, him and his fiance had bought a house in LA, and they actually are now doing a full spinoff show on that. So it's going to be called The Property Brothers Home, Drew's Honeymoon House. And so he threw down for a fixer upper, and I love how they say when a home's listing description says, bring your developers, home buyers or speculators, and endless possibility for development or remodel, that's usually a clue that there's going to be some work to be done, if that's the description. And even for $2.3 million, it's going to be really interesting to see on the show what he ends up having to do to this house. Shockingly, it was built in 1921, really cool looking place. And it's only had two owners since 1921. So it's in a historical area, very, very popular area. And shoot, not only did he buy a honeymoon house, he's going to make an entire show out of it. So that will be interesting. That might be one I might have to put on the TiVo there and see what he gets done there. I also always like to take a look at our national housing stats and see what's going on. And October actually had a spike nationwide. It was 13.7% higher than September in new housing starts. Now, it's still trending just a little bit below the level in 2016, but overall for the year, up almost 5.8%. So there's definitely been an increase, and we've seen not only locally in Tri-Cities, but nationally, we've seen a lot of the big developers start to ramp up again and go into some of these master plan neighborhoods and start to put down a lot of new construction in those housing starts. So nice to see those numbers inching closer to getting back to what we would call pre-recessionary levels. So nice to see the building industry headed that direction. Well, before we had the show, Mike and I were brainstorming some ideas to talk about for this week's radio show. And so two things we definitely wanted to hit on this week is, one, we wanted to talk a little bit about how we get paid for our services. I think a lot of times that's often overlooked, and especially if someone's never bought or sold a house before, they're always curious, how does that work?
Yeah, I've had numerous instances on the mortgage side where maybe somebody married someone who already had a house. They were married to them for 15, 20 years, and maybe through divorce or a spouse passing away, now they're looking at buying a house, and now they're 40, 50 plus years old, and they've actually never bought a house before. And that's a question I get. You know, some people actually come to me first and say, oh, I heard I need to get pre-approved first, which is great. And we talk about all the different things. And one of the questions I get, well, how much do I have to pay the realtor to buy a house?
Absolutely. And that's a good question. So we'll just kind of go into that on a pretty basic level to how that typically works. And so it's really interesting that a lot of buyers out there that are looking don't know that on the buy side, 75% of the time, that realtor's commission is going to actually be paid by the seller. So we'll step back a little bit and explain a little bit about how that works. So when a seller goes to sell their house and they enlist the services of a real estate agent, they are going to negotiate a payment amount with that agent. So that could be 4, 5, 6, 7, 8%. I mean, it's a negotiated amount between the client and that agent. And so, for instance, let's just say it's 6 to make the math easy. And so I would go out to a seller's house and I'd say, yep, wonderful. You have a great house. Looks like it should be priced at $200,000 for us to market that house, put it in the multiple listing service, get the pictures taken, get the signs put up. What we're going to charge for that is 6% of the sales price, or it could be 4, 5, 7, whatever's negotiated, but we could charge 6% of the sales price. And then what we're going to turn around and do, and that is very unique to the realtor community, is I'm one agent out of 800 agents in the market. And at any one given time, you can assume that roughly those other 800 agents have 3 or 4 different buyers that they're doing searches for or looking for. So what we'll do is when the seller agrees to pay that 6% to an agent, we will then take half of that amount, say 3%, and we'll allocate that to the marketing and listing side. And then what we'll do is take the other 3%, and we will offer that up as a cooperative commission to the other 799 agents in the Tri-Cities to pay them to bring their buyers to the home, help their buyers go through that process of doing inspections, of making an offer, of looking at the comparables, of negotiating the price. And so we're really splitting that commission and then offering an amount to the other agents. So in that instance, that other agent is actually getting paid by our firm. So it's odd. There's different ways that people look at it. But really, our contract is with the seller for that 6% or 5% or 7%. Our contract is with the Kenmore team and that seller. The seller then is going to take that money and pay that. And then we have a cooperation agreement with the other 799 agents to share in that when we offer that into the MLS. So on the buy side, those buyers that are out there looking, whether that be a first-time home buyer or somebody buying their second or third home, when they're buying and they're doing that, that commission and that buyer's agent's pay is coming from the other agency representing the seller. And so a lot of times people don't realize that in many instances, one way to look at it is they'll say to me, they're like, So basically, you're telling me on the buy side, it's free for me to use, you know, to use a buyer's agent. And in many instances in that case, it is. And we always laugh and joke around a little bit and say, don't worry, though, I'm going to come back and get you when we resell in 5 years. So you'll end up paying at some point, but it just depends on if that's the model you're looking for that has the exposure to those agents that are working with the clients. And a lot of buyers out there don't know that. On the same token, it's easy to overlook that because you never paid it, right? So a lot of times when we go and meet with sellers, they're also shocked by that system because, you know, they never had to worry about commission when they bought because it was paid for by the seller. So they never really thought about it.
And it's been how many years?
You're exactly right. It's been 6-7 years. Average right now is down closer to 5. But yeah, now you show up and they're like, wait a minute. Who's, you know, I don't want to pay the whole 6%. I'll pay the 3, but I want the buyers to pay the other 3. And so then a lot of times we'll all go into a story and say, well, let's look back to when you bought. Is that how it worked when you bought the house? And so we'll go through that. And then it's like, oh, gosh, yeah, you're right. I don't remember that. So now that's one way that buyers, agents can be compensated. The other way, and sometimes this happens, is they will enter into an agreement where an agent will enter into an agreement with a buyer that says, hey, I'm going to help you look at everything, builders, for sale by owners, everything on the market, the stuff that's in the MLS system. And I want to hire you to help me find that house regardless of what medium it's found in. And when we do, I'm willing to pay you 2% or 2.5% of whatever the price of the house is. So even if, say, somebody has doing a private sale, they might offer to pay 1.5% of your commission, but not the 2.5% that you feel is worth your services. And I'll make up the difference. So whatever it is, I'll guarantee you get 2.5% when we find the house and close on it. So in that world, a lot of times those terms are laid out in what's called a buyer's agency agreement. So there's listing agreements with sellers and agents, and then there'll be buyer agency agreements that hire a buyer's agent to work for you and spell out the terms of how they're going to get compensated inside that agreement. So it's really, really interesting. And a lot of times, too, what happens, and a lot of people don't realize, too, is that a lot of times agents don't get paid until a house closes. And so a lot of times I think folks really have no idea what's happening in that situation. Somebody might say, gosh, you know, I and the most frustrating examples of this a lot of times for agents is a lot of times people will say, okay, let's go look at some houses. And they'll go out with an agent and they'll go out with an agent for, say, a month or a month and a half, and they'll look at 20, 22, 23 homes with that agent. Maybe they even wrote one or two offers and didn't get a property if it was in multiple offer situation. And the next weekend, their agent's out of town or takes a vacation or is gone for Thanksgiving, and they see a new listing pop up yesterday, Black Friday, and they're like, hey, I want a Black Friday deal. I want a new house. And their agent's gone, but they just happen to go through the open house. They look at it, and we've had times in the past where then they write the contract with that listing agent, not with the agent they've been working with for 2 months, and honestly not even realize what has happened. And then Monday they'll call. I've had them call our agents and say, hey, oh my gosh, I'm so excited. We found a house, and we actually put an offer in on it. And the agent's like, well, how did you do that? I was gone, or you didn't even call me. And so they'll run through that scenario, and our agent will say, you know, I'm really excited for you that you found it. You know, on our team, we have agents that cover while the other agents are on vacation. But they'll be like, now I'm not going to get paid. So for the 25, 27 hours that I've spent in that situation, I'm not going to get paid for that. And we've had clients before that are just like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I had no idea that you have to be the one that writes the contract with me for you to get paid. Because a lot of people are in a situation where they go to work and they put in those hours, and then at the end of the month they get a paycheck. In real estate, you can do that and not get a paycheck, and that for most people, that is not something that they're normally thinking about. So those are some of the different scenarios of how agents get paid. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about some property that we have on the market. We're going to talk to Mike Denslow a little bit about what's going on at Home Street and have a couple tips on negotiating so that you can get your Black Friday or Cyber Monday deal on a house.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We've been talking a little bit about how real estate agents get paid in a transaction, kind of going over that structure. And yeah, it was just interesting as we looked at commerce and Black Friday and Cyber Monday. We came up with some of these topics to add into the show, but I did a lot of talking the first segment, so I'm going to turn it over here a little bit to Mike at Home Street. Mike, what's going on in the lending world and with you at Home Street?
Oh, lots, actually. You know, you think it's going to kind of slow down, but, you know, trying to get those people in before Thanksgiving, which we had several of those, and now we've got the people that are getting under contract want to get in before Christmas or before the end of the year. I've got a couple from out of state that's moving here, and he's starting his job beginning of the year. Wanted to close end of December, turned down by two other lenders, and we were able to figure it out that he can close right before he starts his job, actually. And so they're super happy, and they'll probably close right after Christmas before New Year's. So that looks good. Down payment assistance, that comes up a lot. And Washington State Housing and Finance Commission actually just raised their debt-to-income maximum from 45 to 50%. So that means more people getting eligible for the down payment assistance.
I'm glad you brought that up. I had seen that email, and I thought that would start to have an effect and we would see that going into play. So
yeah, absolutely. The other thing is FHA hasn't been doing as many loans, I would say, over the last few years, and they're trying to figure out a way to get more of a market share, a lot going to down payment assistance, a lot going with conventional. And FHA, with us, we're at 600 for a minimum credit score, and FHA with Home Street just lowered to 580. And so, you know, it's not just going to be a blanket statement of, oh, if you're over 580, then you're going to get approved. But we're going to look at it a lot more closely than we would have, you know, even a month ago. So there's things going on there. I think the big thing, and we hear about this all the time, is, you know, we're Fannie Mae's oldest lender in the country. We have the longest relationship with Fannie Mae. And so we routinely are talking to clients and hearing about, a difficult situation. And, okay, well, let's talk about it. Let's talk through it. And let's present it to our underwriters, and then have them reach out to Fannie Mae, have them reach out to VA or FHA and double check. And a lot of times we're able to figure out a way to get those done. So that is just, oh, I can't tell you how rewarding that is to be able to, hey, this makes sense. And I don't remember if I brought it up before, you know, the lady that had the house that she'd owned for 30 years, and then there was an easement issue, so she had to buy a really small section of property to just right adjacent to her property from the local utility so that there wasn't an easement issue so she could get financing. And then a FHA buyer comes, and now it looks like a flip transaction because they haven't owned the property for 90 days. And one of our other lenders in town reaches out to me and say, hey, is there anything you can do with this? And I took it up the ladder and I was like, this doesn't meet the flip rule. That the flip rule is, oh, I bought it, I fixed it up, now I'm going to sell it within 90 days, and FHA doesn't allow that. And this was not that case. And I got it approved, and now our people, we've ordered the appraisal, and we're moving forward, and just a lot of little things like that.
Yeah, I mean, that stuff comes up. And, you know, sometimes I don't know if it's just the maybe some additional stress out there with the holiday season and stuff. But sometimes it feels like everything's under a microscope a little bit there. And you will see some strange things like that. And like you said, trying to get closed by the end of the year. And we had had some investor clients who were doing some 1031s and they was closing by the end of the year. And then they wanted to be reinvested, you know, very, very early in 18. And so, yeah, there's just some of those things out there where you still have to work through that. And I know with the extended holidays and people being gone, we're always talking on our team and coaching the fact that there's a lot of business still happening. And so we need to be prepared to take a big share of that and then also continue working at a quick pace to help people through the holidays. Because it's tough when the people making those decisions are gone for three or four extra days.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned a 1031. And so for those of you who don't know what that is, it's a 1031 exchange when you're selling an investment property and you don't want to realize that profit and you want to turn it right into another investment property. And obviously Lance's office can help with that kind of thing. The other thing I wanted to bring up is Love the Try. You know that I've got this organization called Love the Try. We're selling hats, t-shirts, sweatshirts. LoveTheTry.com shows you where you can buy those things. And we're donating 100% of the profits through the end of the year to Service Peace Warriors. It's a local organization that provides service dogs to veterans, typically veterans with PTSD, at no charge to the veteran.
Mike, thank you for doing that in our community. And folks, I got to tell you, if you haven't looked at it or potentially, I use my kids as a good gauge, high school and middle school. And I tell you what, like, I know if they're asking for something, that the stuff you're producing is actually cool. If I just liked it, I would say that's not a great gauge. But they are asking me. So if you have high school kids or college or middle school, I love the stuff. And you put out a really, really cool product with Love the Try. And so if somebody needs some local gift ideas, I would highly, highly encourage you to go to that website and check it out.
Well, I didn't want it to be a gimmick. I didn't want it to, you know, be a t-shirt from Tri-Cities and you just get it because it's got something Tri-Cities on it. I want you to actually think it's cool and comfortable on top of the fact that all of the profit goes to charity.
Yeah, I wear my stocking cap that I got from your website all the time. And sometimes I'm even in Canada and, you know, or at hockey or something and wearing it. But especially with all the rain and stuff we had last week, man, I had my Love the Try hat on every single day.
That's awesome.
So, well, good stuff coming out of Home Street and Love the Try with Mike Denzel there. Mike, we really appreciate it. We've managed to have some new inventory come on the market. There's still people that are needing to sell that want to get sold by the end of the year, kind of start off 2018 fresh. So we've got some great inventory. 76 newcomer in Richland. This is a 4-bedroom, 2-bath home that's on nearly a half an acre in North Richland. So kind of one of those awesome, large, rare North Richland lots. 1732 square feet, original hardwood floors, newer exterior paint, and newer roof. They've also gone through recently and done a newer HVAC system. So fantastic, fantastic house in that great North Richland location. And this is coming in priced at $257,500. So we talked about last week the average price being up in the 270s. So to find North Richland below that, pretty rare. So great opportunity there. Pick number two. This is a fantastic house. 4709 Hilltop Drive in Pasco. This is a wonderfully updated 5-bedroom, 3-bath home. Lots of space for everybody. 3,200 square feet. Big living room. Awesome family dining room area with a fireplace. You got granite counters and double ovens in the kitchen with stainless steel appliances. So highly, highly updated home for that area. You've also got a fully fenced backyard, RV parking, and an oversized patio. That's coming in at $348,000 for a big, big home in a great Pasco location. And then pick number three, 1567 Larkspur Drive in Richland. So this is South Richland location, three bedroom, two bath home, vaulted ceilings, new carpet, new laminate wood floors, 1512 square feet. You've got a big master suite and a sitting room with private bath with dual sinks. And that's coming in, and this is just kind of right off of that Gage Bella Reeve location, South Richland. And this is coming in at $179,900. So really, really hard to get into South Richland in that price point. So like I said, folks, there's still, regardless of the rain, regardless of how much turkey everybody ate, there's still homes for sale out there and great inventory coming onto the market. Mike, you mentioned before in the first segment that we were going to talk a little bit about our Black Friday, Cyber Monday type of tips when you're negotiating. So one of the first ones when we talked about this that I wrote down, and actually I had talked to a couple builders about this over the course of the last couple weeks, and that is a lot of times in new construction, when buyers are going into new construction, they're asking about pricing and if they can get anything off of the price. That's always the first question. Well, what do you think we can offer? It says that it's listed at $265,000. What do you think we can offer? And a lot of times in new construction, when a builder's in a development a lot, it's not going to be much off the asking price. And there's a couple reasons. I mean, if it's an astronomically outside of all the comps and it's crazy, yes, we will tell you that. But if there's comps and supporting data in a development, you're going to be hard pressed to find a builder come off of that price, because what happens in those situations is a builder and a developer, they're not just looking at that one sale with you. They're looking at their next 25 sales. They might have taken down 25, 50 lots in that development. So now we're in a situation, let's say, where they have 30 lots and they're going to build this plan again 30 times, and they take $3,000 off that house. Now that is public record. That's a recorded number. The appraisers are now using that to appraise the next houses that are built. And now they're $3,000 off 30 lots. Now it's a $90,000 swing for the builder.
And they're setting a precedent by doing it early.
That's exactly right. So what can I do for Black Friday and Cyber Monday, that mentality when I'm looking at houses? Well, I'll tell you what, a lot of times you're way more likely to get a builder maybe to toss in an upgrade. Maybe they can do some built-in shelving in the living room. And so they're able to go in, put in that built-in shelving, they use their own labor to do it, and they could do it at cost versus retail. And so you might be able to negotiate some built-in shelving. Maybe you could get the backyard landscaping finished instead of just the front yard landscaping. So in that new construction arena, if you're looking for a deal, if you're looking for a way to negotiate in that new construction arena, you're going to have a lot more success when you go in asking for the upgrades than you are coming off of the price of a base model.
Especially in our market, supply and demand, we're just...
Yeah, that's a great point. With only 600 some odd homes on the market and them getting gobbled up as they're built, that's another situation where you're going to have to look towards the upgrades and definitely not the base price.
Because the builder knows if you don't buy it, most likely somebody else is coming behind you, going to check it out, and they will.
That's exactly the case. So that brought me to my point number two, is if you were looking to get a discount in that housing arena, a lot of times where people will look is they'll look at days on the market. And so if someone's been on the market for 120 days or 5 months or 6 months, there's likely going to be, number one, something that was wrong. Maybe the pricing was wrong in the beginning. Maybe they started too high. Maybe there was a pet odor that now they've gotten rid of. But in any case, when you're looking at that, you're more likely to be able to get some off of the asking price if there's higher days on the market in that situation. And then the last thing that I wrote down is a lot of times there are convenience items. And I know Mike's not going to want to hear about this with appraisal and lending, so we'll just ignore that he's on the show for right now. But you're way more likely to get a seller to potentially say, leave that riding lawnmower with the property if they're downsizing and don't need it anymore. So you might be looking at a $6,000 to replace a riding lawnmower, and you might get that tossed into the deal with the offer because it's a convenience factor for the seller and it's not cash out of your pocket. So when you're in those homes and looking at those, you can look for some of those convenience items. I've probably sold enough pool tables to go into to have my license. If there's a license for pool table sales, I don't know how many times those have been left with the properties. They go in the man cave. They go in the garage or in the game room that they've been left in. And so many times we'll end up negotiating, hey, we might not get a bunch off the price, but let's get that pool table for you to enjoy when you move into the house. And once again, Mike's just staring at me and he's just madder than heck about this. But that's a whole nother issue about talking with your agent about how those can or cannot be in the deal. So those were my tips to get your Black Friday, Cyber Monday deal in real estate. Folks that are out there, if you need to call, we are here working this weekend. Our agents are showing houses, and so we are out and about. You can go to kenmoreteam.com, shoot us a message. We'll be monitoring that. We'd be glad to talk to you. Mike, on the lending side of things, how can people get a hold of you?
509-572-3651.
I hope everybody enjoys the rest of their holiday weekend, and we will be right back here next week.
Right here on News Talk 870.